A tremendous Monday to you. What's going on? Welcome to the program. My name is Jim Rome. Hope you had a good weekend. Broadcasting live from Los Angeles / Southern California. Nice to have you here. We are coming to you live from the Quicken Loans studios. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. If you're watching on CBS Sports Network, you already got a look at the XR4 Ti. That's how we start every single day. And if you saw the XR4 Ti, you saw Hawk. And if you saw Hawk, you probably saw him at Riv this weekend. It's gotten a lot of run. Lots to talk about. That's not where I'm going to start, but I ultimately will get there. I will start, though, with your telephone number. It's toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. Use it. My first interview is not until 40 past hour number one, so you should use that phone number right now. Hit me up, 1-800-636-8686. Follow me on Twitter, at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at Habitate.com. The interview is set up like this, at 40 past. The first hour, Ben Golliver, you know Ben, SI columnist for the NBA. And he's all over the All-Star weekend. And I thought, I've got lots of thoughts on that weekend, by the way. But I thought it was a really compelling weekend. Pretty interesting. The game was actually a game in the fourth quarter. All of that with Ben Golliver and, of course, the national anthem, which is still trending this morning with Fergie. Second hour is wide open. Third hour is loading up. Top of hour number three, the manager of the Houston Astros, A.J. Hinch. Also in hour number three, a baseball writer for the New York Times, Tyler Kepner. And again, that second hour is wide open. If you know what you want to talk about, call me right now. Phone lines are open. First time in a long time you can get through. 1-800-636-8686. So let me start with the All-Star Weekend, which was here in SoCal. You know, never in my life have I seen an All-Star game produce so many bizarre moments. I mean, really bizarre moments. And last night had pretty much everything. From a game-saving, lockdown bit of defense at the end of the game to the most cringy, awkward, cringy and awkward. We need a cringy drop. Got into it with my son over the weekend, my seventh grade son, and we started talking about something. I'm like, yo, so how'd that go? Cringy, Dad. Very cringy. Awkward and cringy. Anyway, the pregame intros, cringy and awkward. But that and everything in between, you have to admit, and if I'm starting with this and not the game, and the game had a great ending, all of that paled in comparison to what Fergie did to our national anthem. Now, to be fair, I am not a singer. I am not a professional musician. I certainly have been awkward and cringy. But although I'm none of those two other things, a professional singer or a musician, I do have a couple of working ears. That is not your hint or sign to talk about the commissioner. Because I know you clones better than you know you clones, and I know what you think before you think it. I'm talking about the national anthem and Fergie's rendition and the fact that I do have a couple of working ears and now about 10 shattered windows after this rendition of the Star Spangled Banner, after it ripped through my living room. Listen, I understand we all live in a society of snap takes where everybody can't wait to call something the best ever or the worst ever. And typically, whatever gets that gloss just becomes something that we forget about in about 10 minutes. Oh yeah, that's the best thing ever. Forgotten about. That's the worst thing I've ever seen or heard. You know, out of sight, out of mind, 1 hour later. So let me go on record with this right now. That was pretty much the worst national anthem ever. And I'm not going to forget about that. Not in an hour, not in a day, not in a week, not ever. Worst ever. Worse than Carl Lewis, who until now was destined to be the GOAT. I mean, Carl Lewis, his rendition was slapped up on a piece of wood, laminated, thrown up on a wall, and never, ever, ever coming down. This was even worse than Roseanne, who was clearly on troll level infinity with her version. This was worse than Stapp, who was born as Stapp. And he had no choice but to go full stap with his.
Oh, the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming.
Uh-oh! But Fergie's was so freaking bad because Fergie thought that hers was so freaking good. In case you missed it, let me play back just some of it right here. And for the sake of time and our collective sanity, I have isolated the most memorable parts. Here's how it starts.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light?
I mean, did Marilyn Monroe just jump out of a birthday cake? Or is somebody singing the national anthem? It's impossible to tell, but painfully obvious that we were in for the awkward, wannabe sexy, jazzy lounge version of the anthem, which is a version that I didn't even know existed. I mean, was she trying to seduce the entire country with that? I actually thought about reaching for some protection for the rest of her effort, only to realize it really wasn't hot. Not hot at all. Let's continue.
What's so proudly wave at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight?
Yeah, I see you working, Draymond. We all see you working, Draymond. Couple things. First is, who is playing stand-up bass? That's an instrument that I thought that I would never see or hear at a basketball game. A stand-up bass for the anthem. Billie Holiday crooning to stand-up bass? Sure. Ella Fitzgerald? Absolutely. But Fergie laying down a vocal track over a stand-up bass? The hell is going on right now? Which brings me to my second point. I stopped the anthem right as cameras caught LeBron and Chance the Rapper trying to hold back laughter, legitimately trying to stop from busting up. Keep in mind that as we move forward, because they were not the only ones who were trying to hold this thing together. Here's more.
You just heard that. That was real. Dr. Alvin DeLauro did not perform audio surgery on that clip. That was real. I wish it wasn't, but that was. I also wish I knew the name of the broadcast director who captured that dumbfounded Draymond Green who just started cracking up, because that's about to become the gif of the decade. Because we were all Draymond Green last night, and he was all of us. Dude's jaw was on the floor. Until a... way, hey, 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 way, hey, hey, of laughter washed over him. But if you know that song, which we all do, you also know, unfortunately and tragically, that song was not yet over.
For the land of the free.
Yeah, what do you say? Let's just do anything besides what we just did.
Let's play some basketball!
Let's just get in a time machine and pretend that never happened.
Let's play some basketball!
Let's arrest Fergie for murder in the first degree of the national anthem. God, you know, she walked off like, I guarantee she went to one of her handlers. Like, yeah, how'd that go? How'd that go? You know, where's your phone? I need your phone. Can I borrow your phone? I have a couple of calls I need to make. Yeah, but how'd I do? Give me your phone. Give me your phone. Whatever you do, do not look at your phone. I mean, again, I have no idea who green lit this rendition because someone had to have heard her practice this version. There had to have been a sound check. There had to have been a rehearsal. There had to have been a person who was saying, hey, Fergie, I've got a couple of notes on this. And if not, then why? I mean, did she go out there without rehearsing it? Why? Because they were concerned they might lose her? Oh, no. She doesn't want to rehearse. Because whoever that person is who allowed her to take center court and allowed her to do that should be held accountable. Because there is no reason anyone anywhere should have had to have heard that. Because now we can't unhear it. How do I know it was that bad? Because 90 minutes after the fact, Charles Barkley could not wait to talk about it.
Can we talk about Fergie's national anthem?
Oh, stop. Don't do that. Don't do that to my Fergie. Leave it alone. Fergie, I love you. It was different. It was sexy. I like
it. Damn right, it was different.
Leave it alone.
I needed a cigarette after that.
Leave it alone.
Chuck's so great. Shaq's like, it was different. Fergie, I love you. It's all good, Fergie. It was different. Damn right it was different. I need a cigarette after that. Chuck, I need a heater. I need a vape. I need a dip. I need a stogie. I do need protection. All the above. I so badly wish that last night was all about that game because the game, for the first time in a long time, was actually decent. It was watchable. But Fergie went wire to wire with her Yoko take on the anthem. And for all the wrong reasons. And was still trending on Twitter for it this morning. And not only still trending on Twitter for it this morning, but trending twice on Twitter for it this morning. Two different topics. That's how bad that was. As the great Randy Jackson once said, yeah, that's going to be a no for me, dog.
Early.
Carl Lewis may, in fact, finally be off the hook. And my man was the GOAT. See, the difference is, at least he knew he sucked. At least he knew it was terrible. She walked off on that like, yeah, owned it. How you like me now? I mean, why not just, like, drop the mic? How you like me now? Yeah, where's your phone? In fact, you should drop your phone and then run over it and back over it. Dear Rome, email number one. Rome, I thought Fergie's national anthem really set the tone for the game last night. I mean, she killed it. Yours, Yoko Ono. Aaron in Omaha, War. Let's play some basketball. As the new, what's popping Twitter? Right? That's funny, except that I don't think she said that to change the topic. And if she did, I should give her more credit. There are two things about that. If you go back and you watch that a second time after watching it a first time, it is so much worse the second time than it was the first time. And the other thing, let's play some basketball, has made me laugh like 50 times.
Let's play some basketball!
Absolutely amazing. Yeah, I wish I weren't that guy, but apparently I am that guy. Then I couldn't let that slide. Not only could I not let that slide, I could not start the show with it. No matter how well that game ended. How compelling that game was in the end, and it was. And don't come up in here and tell me that was as good as a regular season game, because it wasn't. That was not a regular season game, no matter what the announcers try to tell you. What that was a regular fourth quarter, a regular season fourth quarter. What that was a regular season 5 minutes. But it definitely was better. It was. And Matt and Van tweets, I swear I saw some people taking a knee during that anthem. Not to protest, but to projectile puke all over the ground. No, I mean, it didn't make me nauseous. It didn't make me sick. Like Draymond, made me laugh. I mean, I didn't know if she was trying to pick up on all of us or... It was a bad idea. It was a bad rendition and a bad idea. Somebody during her sound check, somebody in her rehearsal should have said, hey, you know, good. I got a few notes. I got a few notes. Note number one. Oh, hell no. You're not doing that. You're not doing that. That's going to go badly. Rome, can you give us the contact info for Fergie? We think that she would be a great addition to our band as a lead singer. Signed, Madison Rising. At JP Emmett on Twitter. Hey, pimp, when you have a second, could you ask Fergie what she wants to do today?
Let's play some basketball!
Well, I know what she wants to do today.
Oh, say!
Wow. All right, and believe it or not, I mean, how bad would that have to be for me not only to spend the entire open on it, but not even talk about the game, which was fun for about 5 minutes. I do have thoughts on the game, which I'll get to. 1-800-636-8686. In addition to the game, LeBron, listen, obviously it's still his league. Even at his age, with all those miles on him, it is still his league. I've got thoughts on him winning the MVP. I have thoughts on him and Paul George and how comfortable the two of them looked in L.A., I want to talk about what went down at Riviera, and I'm not just talking about Hawk, although that's a trending topic on this show. Bubba showing up big. Tiger going into the tank yet again. I want to talk about the New York Mets and the fact that there may be another dry hump going on. Just as they soon, or as soon as they said there'd be no more dry humping, there might be more dry humping. One more basketball note. I want to get into this notion that LeBron, quote, should just shut up and dribble. One of the worst takes ever. I mean, straight up. Whatever your politics are, whatever your views are, whatever you think about him, whatever you think about his game, whatever you think about his politics, I mean, regardless, to me, it is such a terrible take. It's a bad, bad take. And I'll tell you why that is. Daytona 500 had an amazing ending. And we will get into that, too. Lots to cover. Ben Golliver coming up in about 20 minutes. Second hour is wide open. I've got AJ Hinch and Tyler Kepner coming up in hour number three. You know where to find me.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Quick tweets at Mongo Smash 2135. I cringed so hard listening to Fergie, I can now turn my face into a fist. Denlesks, the problem was that Fergie sang it too fast. I'll bet it sounds absolutely amazing at half speed.
Man of flag was still
Denlesks, I'm going to say something that I never thought that I would ever say. You're right. You are right, Denlesks. It does sound amazing at half speed. Even better than at normal speed. I never thought that I would say that. Anybody else want to weigh in? We're not doing that for 3 hours. It's really kind of not even responsible that I did it for one whole segment. We're not doing that for 3 hours. Get it all out there. Lots of other things to talk about. At Manuel Buzzer. Nice to know that Manuel Buzzer has a Twitter feed. At Manuel Buzzer. Quote, allow me to translate Fergie's anthem. Oh, say, can you... Ah!
No.
Not a good song.
You don't like that color.
I don't like that color.
Not a very good song. He hashtagged it, not a good song. Jeremy and Scotty's in. He tweets, from this point on, anytime I upset the old lady, I'm dropping, let's play some basketball!
Let's play some basketball!
And moving on like nothing happened. No, I mean, it's true. That is the new what's poppin' Twitter. What's poppin' Twitter? Quote, anytime I upset the old lady, we should start right now. If she's listening, she's definitely not going to like being called the old lady. Imagine Jeremy and Scotty going out for a few pops after work, coming home 4 hours late, and quote, the old lady waiting at the door up in his grill. Jeremy, where were you? Hey, Jeremy, I thought you were coming home right after work. Yeah, anyway, let's play some basketball.
Let's play some basketball!
Oh, you want to get it on now? And no, I didn't say let's wrestle. I said let's play some basketball.
Let's play some basketball!
So what's the big deal? What's the big deal? So I went out with a few of my buddies for a few pops. First one to 10. Winner gets buckets, or buckets gets winners, or whatever that, whatever it is. Let's play some basketball.
Let's play some basketball!
Yeah, what do you say you go live someplace else, Jeremy? Oh, let's play some basketball.
Let's play some basketball!
That is so true, though, right? No matter what, whenever something horrible happens now, you should just chase it with. Whenever you do something really regrettable or really stupid, or if you say something really ignorant, and when I say if you say something really ignorant or do something really regrettable, I don't mean the horrible things in life. Things relating to racism. I don't mean that. But I mean if you do something really dumb, just chase it with, let's play some basketball!
Let's play some basketball!
You know, like Hawk. When Hawk shows up at Riviera dressed the way he was dressed, trying to get a high five from Rory McIlroy in the middle of his round, and it goes as badly for Hawk as it did, Hawk should have just turned to the gallery and screamed, let's play some basketball!
Let's play some basketball!
Or like when Hawk, not to point you out unnecessarily, when you got that tattoo of that cat on your arm, and everybody laughed at you walking out of the shop, you should have swung around and just said, oh, let's play some basketball!
Let's play some basketball!
At John X Condos tweets, Fergie's rendition is trending on Pornhub. Like I said, about 30 seconds into that, I was reaching for some protection, and then I realized I don't need it. It's not hot. Nobody's getting seduced here. No, you didn't, Alvy. Hey, Alvin, we're on TV now.
Dude, let's play some basketball.
Alvin, television. We're on TV, Alvy. We're on TV. I didn't even know you had that in your library. I didn't know you had that. Didn't know you had that as part of your arsenal. When we come back, we will talk some basketball, not play some basketball. That is a go-to line, though. Anytime anybody has something catastrophic happen or disastrous or makes a really bad choice or really bad decision, just scream that. Let's play some basketball.
Let's play some basketball!
When we come back, an NBA columnist for SI, Ben Golver, joins us. But first, here is the sports update you've all been waiting on. Here is the very latest on this Monday morning.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
As you know, Monday is an ATP day. Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Submit your question there. Listen later on. I will answer one or more of them. And remember, you want to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. We are joined right now by somebody who covers the NBA for SI.com. He is the host of the Open Floor podcast. Rumor has it, he broke the tie in the voting for the MVP of the Rising Stars game. He is now officially a jungle legend. Ben Golver is my guest. Ben, great to have you back. Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, Jim. I heard you liked that national anthem last night. Your producers were telling me.
Yeah, I loved it. I thought it was awesome. Ben, how did you have that thing scored?
Well, I'll tell you this much. I was there pregame about an hour and a half early when she was going through the sound check, and I knew it was going to be a problem because she kept going back to the microphone interference in my ear. I need this change. I need this change. And it sounded terrible 2 hours before the show. They get into the show. It wasn't any better. You know, the dunk contest, they go from like a scale of 30 to 50. I'd probably give her a 32, you know, just a few generous points below the or above the minimum, but it was a rough start, and thankfully the game picked up after that.
I like that. That's some good intel right now that even in the sound check, it went badly. And the game did pick up. Her performance did not, but the game did. So now that you've had a few hours to think about that game, what do you make of the NBA All-Star game for 2018, and in particular, Ben, the fourth quarter of yesterday's game?
Well, the big takeaway is this. We were screaming for months about, oh, it's going to be captains now, Team LeBron, Team Steph. Are they going to televise the draft? I mean, there's just all this noise around the event. But none of that, to me, necessarily mattered as much as the simple fact they decided to play hard. You know, these last 2 years have been an abomination. 2016, 2017, the guys are just going out there jogging, allowing free dunks. And, you know, I wrote it in 2016. I wrote it again in 2017. And, you know, thankfully, I think the players came to an understanding that it's not in the league's best interest. It's not in their best interest if they don't take the All-Star game more seriously. So I actually give, credit to LeBron James. You know, he did that interview, you know, coming into All-Star weekend with Kevin Durant where they said they were going to try to lead the charge and get more serious on the court. When I saw that, I kind of chuckled and thought, okay, sure, LeBron, you know, there's going to be a lot of parties on Saturday night. Don't overpromise here. But the fact is, in crunch time, LeBron was everywhere. I mean, the unbelievable passing sequence for the layup, the crazy step-back three over Joel Embiid, the great defensive stop on Steph Curry down the stretch in the last play of the game. I mean, these are almost playoff-type moments in this midseason showcase. That's not what we've seen in recent years. And for that reason, I give the players a lot of credit. They decided to take it more seriously this year, and it really improved the product.
We're talking to Ben Golver. So, Ben, the question is why? I mean, was it the different format? Was it the prize money? Was it pride? Was it something altogether different? Why was it different this year?
Yeah, I think, first of all, there was a lot of planning involved. Adam Silver, Chris Paul were sitting down months ago talking about this. I think also the buildup in terms of, you know, the captain formats and just changing things up, you know, doing it differently, probably reset expectations in terms of what guys are thinking going into that game. And let's be honest, like even for a media schlub like me, you know, the All-Star weekend is exhausting. I mean, you're running around all over the city. The last thing I could imagine doing on a Sunday night is going up and down the court for 48 minutes. I mean, you're just exhausted by all the events and the late night stuff too. So I think it was really just a resetting of expectations from the players' union, from the league, about making sure that the showcase game actually puts the league in the best light. You know, Kevin Durant made a comment that he didn't want the All-Star game to be viewed as a joke anymore. I think that was dead on. And, you know, that doesn't mean you can't have fun. You know, early on in the game, you're seeing some sloppy turnovers. You're seeing some alley-oops and all that. But things really tightened up down the stretch. And you saw some great plays. I mean, guys like Joel Embiid, I thought he really made a big mark late in that game, kind of giving Philadelphia fans maybe a playoff preview. You saw the swarming defense from Kevin Durant and LeBron on Steph Curry. You know, you saw a little hero ball attempt from a guy like James Harden. I mean, this is really what we're coming to see, right? We want to see the best players going at each other. And for the first time in years, we got that.
Ben Golver is the host of the Open Floor podcast, among other things. Hey, Ben, one more thought about the end of the game. When Team LeBron was up by three with Stephen inbounding, was there any part of you thinking they should foul with a three-point lead? And then was there any part of you thinking, wait a minute, am I seriously talking about a foul strategy in an All-Star game?
Not only was I thinking it, I was shouting it out in the media room, trying to get people on my side. No, it's right. A true sign of a basketball degeneracy when you're, like, strategizing the late-game stuff during the All-Star game. But it wasn't just that. You know, Joel Embiid gets taken off the court for a little bit, and we're sitting there wondering, like, what's Mike D'Antoni doing? We're questioning the referees. There was even, there was that controversy over the ball going out of bounds. I mean, it really was not your typical All-Star game there late. It had all the layers that you want from a truly competitive game. And so and that's why I keep going back to the main takeaway going forward here for like next year and beyond. We don't need to have some crazy process or new captains or some gigantic TV show blowout as long as the guys play hard. If they play hard late in that fourth quarter, it's going to be a good show. And that's the most important takeaway from Sunday night.
You know, watching LeBron play the way he did, very clearly it's still his league. And then there's what happened off the floor. There's how he played yesterday, and then there's how he dealt with that, quote, shut up and dribble comment. What do you make of how LeBron handled the entire weekend?
Well, I thought I knew he was going to come strong on Saturday. There was no doubt because of the buildup and the back and forth on Twitter. He was very thoughtfully extended comments. He made lots of really good points. He was also kind of like a masterclass in shade. Like he was pointing out that, you know, he thought maybe she was reading off a teleprompter and she had gotten her facts wrong because she said he didn't graduate from high school. So he was kind of like dropping all these little darts at her as he was going through, you know, some really compelling commentary in terms of where he stands in the world as an inspiration for young fans. And I think you know, if you have kids out there, you know, if you're a listener or, you know, if you're a teenager or whatever, I'd encourage everybody to just go listen to what he said, because I thought it was very thoughtful. It didn't devolve into sort of personal attacks like it could have. He's trying to take the high road on this stuff. And it's a tough spot, Jim, because what's Adam Silver really supposed to do, right? Adam Silver's in the position as the NBA commissioner where he has to sort of tap dance, you know, balance a lot of interests, you know, not try to get into a shouting war with the president of the United States. And so guys like LeBron James and Kevin Durant are out there just taking all the arrows sort of by themselves and standing up for themselves. One other thing I did like, though, was the Players Association came through and really had their back, a pretty strong statement against the Fox News host. And I think for that reason, it was nice to see the players kind of get that support on that level, because, you know, these are delicate issues. You know, the last thing any league wants, especially once they've seen how the NFL has sort of been treated here over the last 6 months, kind of in the political climate, the NBA does not want to be the NFL part two. And I think LeBron's doing a pretty nice job of steering this ship the correct direction.
Ben Golliver joining us back in the jungle once again. I'm trying not to make this all about LeBron, but another thing about LeBron, Ben, he said after the game, quote, L.A. is built for stars, end quote. Now, we know that LeBron can be cryptic at times, especially on social. I know what Laker fans would like to read into that comment. How did you interpret that comment?
Well, every year you get the nice comments about the host city, right? The generic nice comment. Even in Toronto when it was like negative 40 degrees out there, people were like, oh, great host city, great international vibe. We loved it. LeBron went on a lot longer than he needed to with his praise of L.A. I mean, he was breaking down traffic patterns. He was saying how it's built for startup and success. I mean, it was really quite the long ode to Los Angeles. So, I mean, I don't know if he's just kind of ramping up, you know, the free agency speculation, just trying to get people to remember that, hey, he still is the best player. He's going to be the most coveted guy this summer, and he's going to have his options. I mean, all these teams are going to be coming after him, whether it's Houston, San Antonio, the Lakers, the Clippers, they're all going to want a piece of them. And, of course, Cleveland did everything they possibly could at the trade deadline to convince him to stay with the moves that they made. So I think he likes to, you know, toy with people, but I definitely believe he knew exactly what he was doing when he said, you know, L.A. is built for stars. I mean, you know, that is a shout-out to Lakers Nation if I've ever heard one.
Ben Golliver, my guest. Speaking of Los Angeles, you recently had a piece, Ben, on Victor Solomon. Who is Victor Solomon, and how did he become known in NBA circles?
Well, it's a deep cut, Jim. I'm impressed. This guy is a true artist. You know, he lives in East L.A. He devotes 200 hours to every project that he does. He's building stained glass backboards that are basically blinged out, and he's got himself a nice niche. It's sort of like, you know, Jason of Beverly Hills or Jacob the Jeweler, the guys who are outfitting rappers and NBA players. So this guy is sort of blinging basketball hoops. And so the Celtics got one for Paul Pierce as part of his jersey retirement. Nike got one for Kevin Durant a couple of years ago when he, you know, went up to the Bay Area right when he first got there. You know, Rick Ross has one of these basketball hoops inside his mansion next to his full court basketball court. So it's sort of a lifestyles of the rich and famous type vibe. But, you know, the craftsmanship on this work is incredible. And I was, like, really nerding out over this. I can't even lie. I was, like, calling up art historians and saying, like, hey, what do you think of this guy's materials and his process? And they're saying he's legit. I mean, he's really going piece by piece building these backboards, you know, by hand. And so it was really cool to see him, you know, have partnerships also with the Players Association. I mean, they had a bunch of gold Spalding basketball, so you almost imagine, kind of stacked up in a pyramid, so it was very like this regal vibe to it. So, you know, Victor is really doing his thing out there. If anyone's interested in his art, just check out the website Literally Balling. It's got all the stuff up there.
So what's something like that cost?
A lot more than I can afford. I mean, you know, typically it's like $20,000 to $30,000 for a single piece. You know, he did a big piece for All-Star Weekend, which I'm sure was quite a bit more than that because it had four separate baskets. But, you know, it's not only the cost of the materials. Obviously, it's the cost of the time. I mean, he had to study and apprentice for a year to learn how to even make these things with some people up in San Francisco who have been doing it their entire lives. So it's like very low-tech, lo-fi, you know, type of production work. I mean, you can't just put these on an assembly line, right? And, you know, one cool idea he had, Jim, though, he wants to redo the NBA's trophies, right? He wants them to be sort of touch-activated, almost like a cell phone. So let's say you win the NBA Finals, you hold up the trophy, all of a sudden it lights up, sort of like the Sword in the Stone. I mean, it's a pretty good idea. It does make you think, like, are some of these trophies boring? Are they outdated? Are they ready to be sort of, you know, technology infused? I mean, it's a minor thing, I guess, for basketball heads who care about every little detail, but it would be kind of cool to see the NBA, you know, modernize their trophies or their awards.
I like it. I think it's a great idea. One last thought, Ben, before you go. Kawhi Leonard has not played more than a month. First of all, what's his situation? And how do you explain the fact that a guy of his ability, I mean, a star, has not played more than a month and it's not a bigger story?
Look, Kawhi is always quiet, but he's been a ghost. I mean, you barely even heard, saw a picture of him, a poster of him, nothing at All-Star Weekend. And to me, the timeline or the deadline for getting him back on the court here is really soon. It's not like, oh, bring it back 1 week before the playoffs, because the Spurs are all about the chemistry, the continuity, getting guys up to speed. You know, as soon as he does come back, he's going to need that, you know, slow ramp up period to kind of get his body right. So to me, if he's not back here within like the next week or two, it's serious panic time for the Spurs. And, you know, I think one question that needs to be asked is, you know, in their best case scenario, given how this season has kind of gotten away from them without Kawhi Leonard, in terms of, you know, they're not quite on that same level as Golden State and Houston. You know, I almost wonder if San Antonio is better off taking a super cautious approach this year. I just don't see their ceiling as a title team this year. I think, you know, basically one of two teams is going to win it, Golden State or Houston. And, you know, from that standpoint, you don't want to jeopardize anything with Kawhi Leonard's long-term future by trying to bring him back. You know, there was a lot of discussion maybe a month or so ago about, was he happy, was he not unhappy? And, you know, hopefully the team and the player can get on the same page there. But, you know, they're running out of time. I mean, that's the simplest way to say it. If he doesn't have, like, at least a month to sort of get himself back into the swing of things, you have to wonder, like, what's the point? Why even bring him back?
Ben Golver covers the NBA for SI.com. Also, he is the host of the Open Floor podcast and a jungle legend at that. Ben, great to have you on. Nice job as always, Ben. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Jim. Have a great week, man.
You too, Ben. Have a great week. Great job. Like I say about that guy, every time he comes on, he gets better and better and better. Ben is one of the best in the business. All right, looking ahead to hour number the second hour. Third hour is loaded. I'll tell you about that. In hour number two, we're wide open. Now is the time to call the show, 1-800-636-8686. Your thoughts on the All-Star game, your thoughts on LeBron breaking down L.A., and it's true. He did a deep dive on L.A. He talked about how it's a city of stars. He got into traffic patterns. Is he messing with all of us here, or is he kind of putting it out there that, you know what, it could work? I'm having a good weekend. I've already got my production company. I've got a house here. Maybe Paul George will join me here. We'll get into that. Big golf weekend here in LA as well. Genesis goes to Bubba. Bubba is back. Tiger is not. Hawk is still Hawk. All of that coming up. Maybe even next hour. In addition to it, the Mets, even after they said there would be no dry humping, there is still dry humping. And remember, this show is TVMA. It's radio MA. It's TVMA. And I'm not the one that made up that phrase. That's a well-known phrase in baseball. In fact, almost any manager who has ever managed on any level has used that phrase. We're not going to dry hump that pen now. Except they know not to get in front of a camera or a mic and say it. Yet their GM is now doing it. I will tell you what I mean by that a little bit later on. You know where to find me. Call me, tweet at me, email me. You're listening to CBS Sports Radio and watching on CBS Sports Network, hour number two, straight ahead.